Shantir avyartha kala dvang viraktir mana shunyata ashabandha samutkantha namagane sadaruchihi asattistad gunakhyane pritistad vasatistale ityadayon nubhava syur jata bhavan kure jane. Continuing. Ashabandha. Asha means hope or expectation. Bandha means tied up. It's one meaning of bandha. Tied up. So this ashabandha means that a devotee considers himself hopeless. I have no hope. I have no qualification. But my hope is that despite my disqualification, Krishna will accept me at some time, even though I have no bhakti, I have no good qualities, even though I am most fallen, still we hope that Krishna will accept. The devotee hopes. And even though someone feeling himself so useless, they might want to just leave bhakti. They might think, well, I'm just not qualified to do this. Bhakti is so pure. I'm so impure. But they cannot leave. They're tied up with that hope to Krishna that keeps them connected to Krishna, that they won't go away. Now, this is a symptom of a devotee on the level of bhav, which is the just prior to praying. Practically, it's one who has reached the level of bhav, he's on the threshold of the platform of praying. So it's a feature of an advanced devotee that he thinks he's most fallen. And it's a feature of a neophyte devotee that he thinks he's very advanced. So it's a strange, externally it seems quite strange. But that is the qualification for bhakti. Bhakti means the natural relationship between the master and the servant. So the Savior Sevaka Bhav. This is called Savior Sevaka Bhav. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mayavad is criticized because it seeks to annihilate the distinction between the served and the servant. So, bhakti takes place on appreciation, on the platform of appreciation of Krishna being so great. Therefore, devotees, they regularly discuss that on Saturday night. I spoke on that verse. Satang prasangan mama virya sangrida. The devotees, they regularly discuss about the virya here, means the potency. That includes everything else, the magnificence of Krishna. Discussion of the magnificence. How great is Krishna and how small am I? The more one feels that Krishna is great and the more then I am very small, but that still I have the opportunity to serve him, the more there is bhakti, because the basis of bhakti is service, recognizing Krishna to be very great and myself to be very small. So if one thinks that, well, Krishna and myself are more or less the same, and I will, by doing bhakti, I'll become as good as God, as the Mayavadis think, then this feeling of hopelessness in bhakti which is just the opposite of pride. You can see that in the previous verse. Mana shunyata. One is devoid of pride. Now, if one thinks I'm very qualified and very great, well, that's pride. Even if one is very qualified, that he doesn't... Uttam hoya, what is that? In Chaitanya Charitamrita. Uttam hoya apanake dina mane. Even if one is actually on the topmost level, he thinks himself very fallen. Because that is the platform of the topmost devotee, that he is recognizing the difference between himself and Krishna. In relation to Krishna, actually everyone is very small and he is very great, and recognition of that is the platform of bhakti. Now, a devotee who is advanced, he's not actually fall. You can't be advanced and fallen at the same time. This platform of a pure devotee that he thinks he's very fallen doesn't mean that to attain that platform one should actually go out and break all the regulated principles and stop practicing bhakti just so that I can feel I'm very fallen. That is not recommended. That is not the process. But it's a mental or psychological state in which one feels that one is very fallen. If there's even a slight hint of personal desire, the devotee takes that as being very bad. Or even if there's no personal desire, if there's something even resembling personal desire, a devotee takes that to be symptomatic of his very fallen condition. An example is that of Raghunath Das Goswami, who didn't eat. Practically, he stopped eating. We just sang Nidra, Hara, Vihara, Kadi, Vijito. The six Goswamis, they conquered over eating, sleeping, and all other such activities. So Raghunath Das conquered. Of course, from one platform, conquering over them means to regulate them. Yukta, Hara, Viharasya, Yukta, Cheshtasya, Karmasya. Yukta svapnava bodhasya yoga bhavati tukaha. So regulation of these activities. Not too much, not too little, whatever is suitable for maintaining the body for Krishna's service. That can also be said to be conquering over. But the six Goswamis, they conquered over eating and sleeping to the extent that they practically didn't eat or sleep. And Raghunath Das Goswami, it's described that he would take a little buttermilk every 2 days or so. And that's all. And at the time of taking it, he would condemn himself for indulging in sense gratification. Give me the Mahaprasad. Bring it all here. It's different to Raghunath Das Goswami's condemning himself for taking a little buttermilk. There's no hint of sense gratification. But there's for what an ordinary person might be, sense gratificatory attitude, he condemned that. Similarly, Madhavendra Puri, he wanted to taste the kheer that was offered to Gopinath, the deity, so that he could prepare the same, by tasting it, he could understand how to prepare that. He gets some idea how to prepare that for his Gopal, whom he was worshipping, who is now Srinathji. But then he thought, oh, this is very bad. I'm designed for my own sense gratification. It wasn't for his sense gratification. But that is the mentality of a pure devotee. He's very careful of the interaction of the senses with the sense objects. And if there's even something resembling, even if it's not actually sense gratification, if there's anything even resembling it, he condemns that. So we find repeatedly in the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's condemning himself as a fool, as beset with material desires. The pure devotees, they feel like that. But at the same time, they feel that my only hope is Krishna, which is actually the fact. Our only hope is Krishna. We perform sadhana for purification, but we should know that the active principle in all our activities are the mercy of Krishna. Without the mercy of Krishna, then whether we're very great scholar, or we may be very austere, or we may be born in a Vaishnava family, or whatever it may be, without the mercy of Krishna, we can't do anything. And that's true in material activities, and it's true in spiritual activities. So a devotee, because he's always hoping for the mercy of Krishna, he gets it. Because he thinks he's not qualified for it, he gets it. And one who thinks, I am qualified, he doesn't get it. So a devotee is always very humbly desiring the mercy of Krishna. And samudkanta, with a great eagerness, these two are quite, they're interconnected. He's eager. This eagerness, this quality of eagerness, this comes in all the next qualities mentioned. Namagane sadaruchihi, always having taste for singing the holy names. Attachment to description of Krishna's qualities, and love for living in the places where Krishna lives. So this eagerness that I must attain Krishna, very strong desire, I want to attain Krishna. This is the another symptom of one who has attained bhava. He's not lackadaisical, or he's not lazy. He very strongly wants to attain Krishna. He doesn't think that, okay, I'll just go along with my bhakti day to day. All right. But always pushing himself to improve, because the eagerness to attain Krishna, knowing that it's not attainment of Krishna, means that when one is actually on the platform of praying, that eagerness becomes an inherent part of one's very being. Or actually, it is an inherent part of one's being, but we've lost that now in our material state. So the state of Krishna praying, that resembles Rajagun in this world. The Mayavadis, they reject Krishna Bhakti because they think that's also desire, and that's a fact. Kama Esha, Krodha Esha, Rajaguna. Kama and Rajaguna, they're intimately linked. Material desire is very prominent. Desire for enjoyment is very prominent on the platform of Rajaguna in this material world. So there's, and in Rajaguna there's an intense activity for, because one is driven by desire to achieve some goal. So the eagerness of a devotee is similar to that, but it's completely on the pure platform. There's no personal desire in there. Desire is there, but the desire is to please Krishna, not a desire for sense gratification. So one is very eager to attain Krishna. So that eagerness, it's not, as we see in the neophyte devotee, it's up and down, sometimes very enthusiastic, sometimes discouraged, but always eager to push on. We see that in Srila Prabhupada, in his preaching of Krishna consciousness, even though there was for many years of Prabhupada's preaching Krishna consciousness, there was no sign that there was going to be any result from that. While preaching in India, things seemed to go nicely, but then it then it all collapsed. In Jhansi, well, first of all, in his family life, he was preaching, but so many ups and downs, the family weren't cooperating. Then finally, after moving here and there in Jhansi, something was going on, and then he was thrown out of that place. And he had several followers, but they didn't bother to maintain contact with him after that. They weren't very determined followers. It's a long story how he came to America. And even then, it was in the beginning, no one was, but he was eager to serve Krishna. So eagerness means this: utsahan, nischayan, dharya, all these three put together: enthusiasm, determination, patience, to always be eager. This is particularly eagerness about attaining Krishna, serving Krishna, attaining the state of pure devotional service, but that is manifested in all one's activities, if one is actually on the level of bhava. Namagane sadaruchihi. One is always, one always has taste for chanting the holy names, particularly the holy names. There are so many, aspects of devotional service, the angas. There are 64 angas of devotional service. But here, some in particular are mentioned. The holy name of Krishna, because by chanting the holy name of Krishna, all remembrance of Krishna automatically comes. If we were to chant the name of Krishna, means to remember his forms, qualities, pastimes, everything concerning him. Nama chintamani Krishnas chaitanya rasa vigraha purna shuddha nitya mukta abhinna dhannama namino. Krishna is his name. Completely pure and spiritual, beyond the material domain. It's the conscious rasa vigraha. How it's very difficult to translate. There's no such concepts in the English language. No such concepts. Chaitanya rasa vigraha. Yeah. So. One who's always eager. Now, these are some of the symptoms of the platform. Symptoms of someone on the platform of bhava. One symptom is that they have taste for the holy name. Now, it's not that we just wait and we go along with our sadhana and we wait for the bhava. One day we'll just wake up and all of a sudden we get bhava. But it's this sadhana. Sadhana bhakti leads to bhava bhakti. Bhava bhakti leads to prema bhakti. Bhaktya sanjatya bhaktya. From bhakti comes bhakti. From the preliminary level comes the more advanced level. So the taste for the holy name comes from the sadhana of chanting the holy name. So chanting, we have our prescribed rounds to chant. And we can chant other times also. Actually, while bathing, while rising, while before going to rest, it's a good practice to call out the holy names of the Lord. And in this way, one will develop a taste, especially if one hears about Krishna. Because if you don't know who Krishna is, then although the name of Krishna is none different from Krishna, but from kirtan comes smaran. Kirtan prabhave smarana hoive. From kirtan comes smaran, remembrance of Krishna, remembrance of everything else about him. So hearing and chanting about Krishna, they go together. Now, this taste for the holy names, we often see, I saw in Bengal, when I was traveling in Bengal regularly, that many people, they had a taste for singing the holy name, or they liked to sing them. But then when they finished chanting, they seemed to be very materialistic in many ways. They'd chant, they'd sing very nicely, But then when they stop chanting, they sing something, they just speak something like common Karmi people, or smoke a bidi. Or they'd be chanting Hare Krishna, and then they'd start chanting some song to Kali or Durga, all in the same recitation. Or the professional groups were paid to chant Hare Krishna. And then they're paid to sing. They'll sing anything that anyone asks them to. So some bogus sampradaya with some bogus mantra calls them, and they'll sing that also. So it appears that they have a taste for chanting the holy names. They like to sing. They appreciate the singing. But that cannot be considered to be on the platform of bhava if they don't have all the other concomitant symptoms. They're singing, but is that, what is that? Is that some culture? Is that some, that chanting of the holy name, is it because of some cultural background, or because they like the music? It can't be considered, it's mixed. That they like to chant Hare Krishna is good, but that they are not specifically attached to chanting Hare Krishna, and that when they stop the performance of chanting, that they don't act on the platform of pure devotion. Especially the style of chanting in Bengal is often very plaintive, as if they have asha bandha samudkanta, hoping against hope for Krishna's mercy, calling out for Krishna's mercy. It's often like that, Hare, as if they're really calling, Krishna, really calling from their heart. But then afterwards, if they smoke a bidi, then they think there's something wrong there. So, all that glitters is not gold. Now, this verse I just quoted, Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. Now, that is followed in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. The next verse that follows after that is, although the verses are originally, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is many of the verses are quoted from other shastras. And they're put together by the Acharya Rupa Goswami, who shows how this is the message of Shastra, Bhakti. So, the next verse following that is, Atha Shri Krishna Namadi Na Bhavet Grahyam Indriyai Sevon Mukhe Hijivada Swayam Eva Spratyada. The holy name, or rather Bhakti, is defined as service or engagement of the senses in the service of the master of the senses. No, sorry, I'm quoting the wrong verse. Atashri Krishna Namare Nabhavir Grahim Indriya Sivan Mukhe. Bhakti is defined as service to Krishna, with an attitude of service to Krishna. The holy name of Krishna cannot be appreciated on the mundane platform. It's not accessible to the mundane senses. Therefore, one serves Krishna with an attitude of service, beginning with the tongue. Then Krishna manifests to such a person. So Krishna, it may seem that one who is chanting the name of Krishna, they have a taste, but that cannot be considered to be a fully spiritual taste. It's not the taste of someone who's actually on the platform of bhava. If it's seen that when they finish chanting, their bhava is quite different, or their feelings or their attitude is quite different. So, bhakti means 24 hours, a pratihata, unstoppable. Not that but because many people, they're raised in a Vaishnava culture, but there's no proper education about bhakti. So they're fortunate to have a taste for chanting holy names, but they haven't been trained exactly to understand what bhakti is, and therefore they consider what they're doing to be bhakti, but it's not according to the standard given by Rupa Goswami. So we should know this. It's not that any chanting, even if it's very, sometimes we see people are chanting very enthusiastically, and they're really absorbed. But again, we have to see what happens when they finish. Some years ago, actually quite a few years ago now, some devotees who were estranged, maybe not estranged from the temple community in London, but they'd been devotees previously, full-time in the temple, but later on they'd gone outside, and many of them were not following very strictly, probably most of them were not following very strictly. But they had a reunion, and they came together, and they had a kirtan, and they really got into it. And I heard a comment that one of them said that, well, that kirtan was more ecstatic than a lot of the kirtans that the devotees in the temple do. Which is, it's quite possible that they got a lot of enthusiasm after a long time of not having kirtan, or not coming together for kirtan. They came together and they got a lot of enthusiasm for that. So, yeah, well, maybe they got some special mercy or whatever it may be, but the fact is that those who are living in the temple, they do kirtan every day. Whereas those who come together once every so often, and the kirtan may seem to be very ecstatic, but if it's actually ecstatic, then they should go on doing it. And not just be a once every 2 years, or once every year, or once a week performance. So these are some points. I mean, there's so much to be said about this. Similarly, asaktis tadguna kyane. One is attached to glorifying Krishna. It should be attached to glorifying Krishna. Which means also to speak the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives us the direction by which we can see Him in everything. So it's a good practice to cultivate, speaking about Krishna. And practically, Srila Prabhupada, this whole movement came from his mouth, from his speaking and chanting, speaking about Krishna and chanting about Krishna. So, Sevan Mukhe Hi Jiva, by Srila Prabhupada's service mood to Krishna manifesting from his mouth with a clear and pure perception and understanding of Krishna, the whole Hare Krishna movement in the modern age manifested. So we see that Srila Prabhupada is very attached to discussing the qualities of Krishna. He was always speaking about Krishna day and night, sevan mukhi, with doing whatever is required, sometimes cleaning the floor, sometimes doing the accounts, sometimes cooking, whatever is required to serve Krishna in various ways. So this we should attach. We have various services to perform, but we can also cultivate the habit of speaking about Krishna and chanting the names of Krishna. It's not that we have to wait for japa period to chant. We can chant anytime. Hari, Narayana. We can call out anytime. Cultivate. We can talk about Krishna. If we read regularly Srila Prabhupada's books, we'll have plenty of material to remember Krishna. And we'll want to share that with others, because the subject matter of Krishna is relishable. And relish rasa comes when it's shared. Just like when you eat alone some nice food, it's not so nice as when you share some very nice feast and then you see others are also enjoying that. So sharing increases that. And pritis tadvasati sthale, a love of the places that Krishna lives in. Which means, of course, Mathura, Vrindavan, Navadvip, Mayapur, Dwaraka, Puri, and there are so many places. And now there are so many temples of Krishna all over the world. There are places which, like this Vrindavan, Mayapur, these are places where Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, actually lived during their pastimes. And then there are other places like Nathdwara, where he has come in his deity form. And now there are so many temples of Krishna all over the world. So we can chant Hare Krishna anywhere. But still, places like Mayapur and Vrindavan, they're not just anywhere. They are the dhams of the Lord. And even though we see Vrindavan now is commercialized in many ways, and it may seem in many ways like to have more or less the same mood as any other town, except that, in some towns people make their money by going to factories, and in some towns they make their in Vrindavan the money is made by selling things about Krishna, or selling land, by get your own apartment, Vairagya Mahal, something like this they have. You can see that advertisement just behind the Krishna Balaram Mandir. That 5-star apartment, air conditioned, hot and cold water, TV, all cable channels. And then what are you coming to Vrindavan for if you want all this? So the devotees, they find actually the best holy places, Tomara Hridaye Shada Govinda Vishram. The pure devotees, we can all, if we find the pure devotee in his heart, Krishna is always there. So he's Bhavad Vidha Bhagavatas Tirtha Bhuta Swayam Prabhu Tirtha Kurvanti Tirthani Swantas Tena Sadabhita. Gadabrita, sorry. A devotee is a moving holy place because Krishna is always in his heart. He makes the tirthas into tirthas. Just like if we go to Vrindavan and there's no one to guide us, we might end up with some Shaiva Babus smoking ganja. They're there also. But if we, devotees, Srila Prabhupada brought them and he guided them. He showed them what is Vrindavan, and he showed them how to get Vrindavan, how to attain Vrindavan, even while living far from Vrindavan. But at the same time, the holy places are special, and service to the holy places, that was one of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's objectives. He sent Rupa and Sanatana to Vrindavan to revive the bhakti cult from there. He could have kept Rupa and Sanatana with them, or he could have sent them anywhere, but he sent them. You go to Vrindavan and you do the Lupta Tirtha Udha, find out all the holy places which are not being properly, or they're unrecognized now, practically lost, and rediscover them. This process went on for some time, after Rupa and Sanatana also. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself showed his love for Vrindavan, although he only spent 1 month there. But he stayed in Puri, which is none different from Vrindavan. There's a reason, various reasons he didn't stay in Vrindavan. But he was always in Vrindavan. Anya hridai man, maram man Vrindavan. Others, their mind is their heart, but for mine, my mind is Vrindavan. Advaita Acharya told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also that wherever you are, that is Vrindavan. So at the same time, yeah, we have service to do at the holy place. And there are many also. Many in South India, especially there are so many Divya Deshams of the Sri Vaishnava Sampada, they're also important holy places. So an important function of devotees is also service to the holy places. You see that Srila Prabhupada, he started his Bhaktivedanta Swami Charity Trust with the idea of renovating so many temples in Bengal, well, in Gauramandal especially in Bengal, which are connected with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. So that's an important service. And also, Srila Prabhupada showed the example of there was no question of his not going back to Godhead. He was never separated from Krishna. But he showed the example of going to leave this world from Vrindavan. He said that either Mayapur or Vrindavan, and eventually it came to be Vrindavan, he left the world from Vrindavan. Because there is a difference, there is the influence of the holy place. It's non-different from Krishna. So a devotee, he loves those places, the places which are connected with Krishna. And although he may, for service or due to some circumstances, he may not live in them, but he always aspires to live in them, and in his consciousness to meditate on them, to serve them. So that in brief covers these principal attitudes of a person who is at least in the beginning stages of bhava, jata bhava ankure jane, those in whom the sprout of bhava has jata, it has arisen, it's manifested. So Hare Krishna, any question about this? I'm just briefly covering them. Because, of course, you can read in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu. But my point in going through these was, any way to discuss topics of Shastra is always good, but just that we hear a lot of talk about praying, but there are some symptoms of bhava which actually comes before praying, included in praying, so they should be understood. Not that just one is cheaply advertised as being a premi bhakta. These first four qualities, especially kshanti, this kshanti, the tolerance of material conditions, go on with your service, whatever. Avyartha kalatvam, not wanting to waste time. I want to be engaged in Krishna's service all the time. Virakti, detachment from material sense enjoyment. And mana shunyata, not desiring recognition. I'm doing so much, I'm so great, I'm so wonderful, people should notice me. But shunya, completely devoid of any desire for personal honor or recognition. These are the first four qualities which I discussed in some previous lectures. So, Hare Krishna, any question about this place? Yes?
These qualities of bhava bhakti, one who is there in the state of bhava, these attitudes, will they be visible in some lesser amounts or in others?
Will these qualities be manifested in some stage in the level of sadhana bhakti?
Yeah, in some
Yes, certainly. Because, as I said, it's not that you wake up one day and all of a sudden you're transformed, but here it said, jata bhavankure jane, one in whom the bud of bhav, or the beginning stages, has begun to sprout. I mean, practically that should be there from an early stage. As soon as one is serious about Krishna consciousness, then the attitude, I don't want to waste any time. I have to get on with my service, whatever happens. Even if one is not considered very advanced, or but that in its that attitude, these attitudes are the symptom of someone who is definitely on the path of advancement, and that's really the beginning of pure devotion. When even in the early stages, when one has this attitude that, yeah, I have to do my service and nothing else matters but service to Krishna. When we say in the early stages, it's not even necessarily so that someone who's come newly to Krishna consciousness is a neophyte, because it's a, in so many cases, a continuation from a previous life. So maybe that someone who's coming newly, it may take them a little time to get used to all the different practice and everything, but it may be that they're already very advanced from their previous life. So we can't say that someone's necessarily a neophyte just because they're new to, in this lifetime, to devotional service. They might be more advanced than someone who's already been practicing for many years in this life. And probably we see that many times. Someone's going on for many years, and someone else is not so long in devotional service, but they're on a more determined and committed platform. Yeah. Does it depend on our activities or our free will? Take the process seriously, or does it depend on Krishna's mercy? Ultimately, everything depends on Krishna's mercy. Previous lifetimes? Ultimately, everything depends on Krishna's mercy. But Krishna gives the process of bhakti yoga by which he becomes pleased if we follow it. But we should never think that I'm doing so many activities, therefore certainly Krishna is obliged to give me prema bhakti. Such an attitude is contradictory to bhakti. It's difficult to, I mean, well, what is advancement? It may be very difficult to say. Ultimately, it depends. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasada, yasya prasada nagati katha. The via medium, the spiritual master, when he's pleased, Krishna is pleased. Without his mercy, there's no hope, whatever else we do. So you see, Srila Prabhupada, as he noted in one purport, that the spiritual master is not so pleased if, he's not actually pleased if someone brings a lot of money, but he's actually pleased if someone is very serious in practicing devotional service and gaining taste for chanting the holy name. There's a, in the Vaishnava Abhidha compiled by Haridas Das, there's a narration of one devotee who's, he was a noted devotee in Vrindavan, and he would hold daily readings from Bhagavatam or whatever. And one day in his recital, there was some widow was there. There may have been so many widows. Only Bengali widows especially congregate in Vrindavan. And the widows, they're not supposed to wear any sewn cloth. So by accident, this one widow, her cloth fell down. And she may have been fairly young or whatever. When you think of a widow, usually an old woman, she can be young widows also. So her breast was exposed. And at that point, the speaker saw that. And at that point, he lamented publicly. He said, you see, so many years I'm reciting Bhagavatam, and people praise me as a great devotee, but just upon seeing this fleshy mass of a woman's body, I feel some attraction. So how am I advanced? Like, he was lamenting that I'm not actually advanced because he felt some attraction to that. So, well, that's one way of measuring our advancement, how much we're free from sensual desires. Of course, that may be that one feels some attraction, but then one rejects that. As Prabhupada often quoted that verse, that yadavadhi mama cheta krishna padara vinde neva neva rasa dhamma nudyata rasa rantama asit tadavadhi bata nari sangame smaryamani bhavati mukha vikara sushtu nishthiva namcha. He said that since I've been engaged in the service of Krishna and experiencing ever fresh relish in that service, then whenever in my mind comes thoughts of enjoyment with women, means the thoughts are coming in his mind, then my lips curl with distaste and I spit. So it may be that the thought comes, and with the thought comes the seed of some attraction, but then one rejects it. Anyway, that's another whole lecture and many lectures. Overcoming material desires and sexual attraction. The two don't go together. There's no pure bhakti with material desire. That's why I was saying that those who are, they're chanting Hare Krishna very sweetly and very musically, and they have some taste at some level for chanting the names of Krishna, but it cannot be considered to be on the level of pure devotees if afterward they just act and talk like very mundane people. Yeah.
Sometimes devotees say that I'm not able to advance properly in Krishna consciousness because of my previous karmas.
So sometimes devotees say I'm not able to advance properly because of my previous karmas. Is that a fact? Well, Lochanda says something to that fact. Apana karama bhunjaya shama kahaya Lochanda says. Shongshai majaya rahile pariya shepade rahila ash. I don't have any attachment. Because of the effect of my previous karma, I don't have any taste or attraction to the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda. That can be a very strong force, no doubt, the effect, the sanskar of previous, the impression, sanskar in this context means impression, previous impressions or the previous mold, it's like being molded in a particular way, can be so strong that it seems almost impossible to be Krishna conscious. But on the other hand, Krishna is stronger than Maya. So if we're able to break through, if we think that I can't be Krishna conscious because of my karma, then that's not actually philosophically correct. There's no doubt it can be a very strong force, and in some people it's stronger than others. And Krishna said, Daivi esha gunamayi mama maya durateya. It's very difficult, it's very strong and difficult to overcome. But he gives the formula, mam eva ye prapandyante maya metam tarantite. So despite the strong influence of maya, if we are able to reach out to Krishna, then Krishna will help us. And that may not mean that we immediately, again, overnight get free from that effect. But that we go on serving Krishna, attempting to serve Krishna despite the urges of the mind and the senses. That in itself is a surrender. Even though the impressions, bad impressions remained in the mind, but that we keep on reaching out for Krishna means that we become qualified to get Krishna's full mercy in due course of time. We have to be sincere. But there's no doubt it can be very difficult. People go through very difficult phases, and it's a great test for them. The dark night of the soul, it's called in. There was one Christian writer who wrote about this. It's become a saying in English, well, particularly for those who are on the spiritual path, not too many of them nowadays. But they call it the dark night of the soul, when one is trying to be pure and spiritual and surrender to God, but at the same time the material attractions are baladiva niyojitaha. This Arjuna spoke about this, that as if by force we know something is wrong, but it's as if by force we're niyojitaha. Bhakti means to come together with Krishna, and niyojita means we're separated from Krishna. So it's as if by force. Of course, niyojita means in this case that we're by force we're engaged in sinful activities, but it could also be understood we're by force we are separated from Krishna. So I mean, there is a process to overcome that. It's not actually true that our karmic results force us to be non-Krishna conscious, although it may seem like that, but it really is a test of our sincerity. It can be very difficult. Therefore, we have to keep association with devotees and follow the process. And Kali Yuga especially is very difficult, extremely difficult. Yeah, Katvanga Maharaj. No, it wasn't because of previous karma that he surrendered. Karma is not. No. His previous activities in bhakti. Is it because of that? Well, ultimately it's because he decided to surrender to Krishna, that Katvanga Maharaj did surrender to Krishna. Ajamir also decided to, because of his previous activities which became manifest at the last moment. So yes, activities in bhakti, they help us to come to the platform of perfection. They help us to attract the mercy of Krishna. Yeah. What does it depend on, taking shelter of Krishna? Is it our free will? Yes, it's our free will. But again, the activities of bhakti, they help us to, by performing the activities of bhakti, that helps us to gain the requisite determination. Now, one devotee asked about that. He asked Srila Prabhupada about that, The devotee asked Prabhupada, how does one get determination in bhakti? And Prabhupada said, by following the principles. If you follow, then you get strength. And then he asked, well, what if you don't have the determination to follow the principles, the four regulated principles? And Prabhupada said, then if he doesn't, he's an animal. That was Prabhupada's response. And he explained that because he said, you vowed to do so. And if you fail to do so, that means you're an animal, because a human being has vowed, but an animal, they cannot take any vow. So if you don't follow your vow, you're just an animal. That was Prabhupada's response. Now, Prabhupada was lenient and accommodating to his many disciples who fell down in his presence. And we continue to be today. Devotees come to devotional service and they fall away, and we try to welcome them back if they want to come back. We don't condemn them. But actually it's not good. After one's taken to devotional service, especially after one's taken initiation, one should follow. It becomes an offense not to.
Is it a biggest offense to
the Lord? Is it the biggest offense? Well, in different places it said it's the big. What's the biggest offense? So, all offenses are offenses. So, Hare Krishna, I'll finish there. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.